Hi, and welcome to episode 132 of C3, Crystals, Cauldrons, and Cocktails. I'm Ren.
And I'm River.
And today we are going to talk more about zodiac signs. Woo!
Yes!
But first, I want to apologize, and we want to apologize for missing our... My brain's not working.
Our last After Dark.
After Dark episode. It has been a really long week for both of us. And even today, we're recording this on Tuesday. I can say that. Today, I've been running around. And it's been very stressful. And we haven't been able to sit down and record at all, like even on weekends.
She was like, let's do three topics today because we've missed the one After Dark. We've got the Sabbath series coming up and we've got Fridays coming up. So let's get those done. And it's now late. And so we're like, we can do one.
We can do one. We'll do one. And then like the thing is tomorrow we're both not free. And then so we're hoping to get everything together. It's just a hectic transition time. So bear with us.
I'm really excited about talking about some more zodiac signs. I thought
that was too fun. Yeah. I look forward to sitting down and doing this podcast. It's just like, when do we have time? And oh my gosh, I have to do this. And right now I currently have cornbread, which I know I've been talking about. I'm not doing carbs. Well, today I am. I'm stressed today. I have cornbread in the oven and I don't have a washer and dryer in my apartment. It's like a community one and my clothes are in the dryer and we got things to do. So I'm multitasking right now.
Well, let's talk about what our drink is today. We are doing the Lion's Pride Punch since that's one of the signs that we're going to be talking about today is Leo. And this was really fun and kind of potent. It has spiced rum in it, triple sec, Aperol, lime juice, pineapple juice, and orange juice. Or I like to use La Croix because it's less sweet. Yeah, you like the orange juice. And then you garnish it with cherries. And it's really fun.
It's very good. And then I wanted to come up with like an idea of, I know we always have alcoholic drinks. And some people don't drink alcohol. So what if we do like a version of our drink as a mocktail? For this one, I think instead of using any of like the, you know, spice rum, triple sec, Aperol,
it's an alcohol.
Yeah. But to me, it's super sweet. So I was like, is it an alcohol? Anyways, talk about me and alcohol right now.
I mean, you can do syrups, like you said,
Instead you can just do like a mix, like, so we have lime juice and, you know, pineapple juice, orange juice. So instead of orange juice, what do I have right now? It's a raspberry lemonade type of thing. So that really goes with the lime juice. And so it's like a pineapple, lime juice, and raspberry lemonade mixed with Sprite or bubbly of anything. And I can't remember the brand right now. I don't have it in front of me, but they're really good, like bubbly waters that taste like sodas and it's just carbonated water. They come in like these cute, like little tall plastic bottles. Yeah, if I remember the brand, I will.
You've been talking about them, but I can't remember what they
are. There is one that literally tastes exactly like Sprite for zero calories and everything. So if you're on like the cautious calorie side, but you still want that taste, you can add that as well. And then of course, garnish with cherries because cherries don't hurt you.
And they're special.
They're so good.
Okay. So last time we left off with Taurus. So we'll start with Gemini, which is the next one in line. And Gemini they're the twins. That's what I was going to say. It's the twins, but that sounded funny. Anyway, the Gemini are the twins of the zodiac.
Yes.
And that is their symbol. And they are the third sign of the zodiac and their birth dates are from May 21st through June 20th. They are governed by the element of air, and they are renowned for their duality, versatility, and boundless curiosity. Their color is light green and yellow.
I could see that. I associate colors with a lot of things. Like I'm a very color-oriented person. And so when I think of a Gemini, I think of green.
That makes sense. And their day is Wednesday.
That makes sense as well. For some reason.
Their ruler is Mercury. Their lucky numbers are 5, 7, 14, and 23. Mm-hmm. And they are most compatible with a Sagittarius or an Aquarius.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've read that Geminis are very compatible with Libras.
Really?
And I agree. I agree that a lot of people that I know and that I'm friends with are Geminis, and I get along with them very well. Like, Geminis are just ones, I don't know. And maybe it's just like the types of Geminis that I've met, but I feel like Libras and Geminis get along very well.
My older brother is a Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really curious when I was going through and researching this one to see if any of it matched him. And so my thought was, what's with the twins? What's up with that?
Okay.
And did you know that tall women are more likely to have twins?
Oh, God. Why? And I mean, that's a genetic thing, not a height thing. Or...
Also, twins are becoming more and more common. So you've got two strikes against you. You're going to have twins.
Tall. Oh, fuck no. Do not say that. You're not going to put that on me and have my body go through that. Absolutely not.
Auntie River will be there for the babies.
No. Just one at a time. If even.
But I thought that was very funny.
Oh, and God.
There is genetics for, it's one or the other, either identical twins are genetic or non-identical twins are genetic. I can't remember which one.
I think it's identical twins are genetic.
You can actually have, twins can have two different dads.
Yeah, I know that.
Mm-hmm. That is the weirdest thing to
me. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway.
It's very interesting, but it is possible. Yes.
It is possible. So at the heart of Gemini's essence is that duality, that twins. They're symbolized by the twins Castor and Pollux from Greek mythology. When you look at the stars that represent Gemini, they are the twins, Castor and Pollux.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Geminis possess multifaceted personalities that often leave others captivated and slightly mystified. I must say, my brother has multiple personalities. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
I don't think so. Maybe.
I'm sorry, brother. Okay. So let's see. Did you know that Castor and Pollux became the gods of sailing and horsemanship?
I didn't know that.
I didn't at all. And they were also known for their boxing abilities and are also thus the gods of athletes and athletic competitions.
Mm-hmm.
And in both art and literature, Pollux and his brother are shown with horses almost all. You did take classes in statuary and stuff. I don't know if you've ever come across them, but they're always shown with horses because they are very famed horsemen.
Oh, yeah. I took a lot of classics courses in college, and a lot of like Castor and Pollux's history is also taught in astronomy courses, which I took because I'm a big nerd and I love those types of things. And so Castor and Pollux are stars that I actually like, star systems and constellations that I
observed.
Yeah.
You know, and I took Latin, and so they forced the Greek and Roman mythology down our throats, and I don't remember them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but Geminis, one moment they can be the life of the party, effortlessly charming and witting, and then the next they might retreat into introspection, craving solitude and deep conversation.
Doesn't everybody though?
I know a lot of these, there's pieces of all of these that I'm like, well, that's me too.
Mm-hmm.
This dual nature extends to their thought processes as well. They have an uncanny ability to see both sides of an argument, which makes them exceptional mediators and conversationalists. However, this intellectual agility can also manifest as indecisions, and Geminis might struggle to commit to a single course of action when they're presented with different options.
Yeah.
But they are versatile communicators. They are ruled by Mercury, of course, the planet of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're natural wordsmiths, which I must say, my brother is an excellent writer. He writes D&D campaigns. He writes stories, and they're all very well written. They also possess, They also possess an innate gift for language, effortlessly weaving words together to articulate their thoughts and ideas, which clearly I am not a Gemini because I am struggling with my communication tonight.
We both struggle so bad.
They are quick-witted and sociable. They thrive in environments where they can engage in lively banter and exchange ideas with others. Did you know that Mercury is only a little bit bigger than our moon? I did not know that. Well, I'm sure you know all of this stuff.
But yeah, I know it's rather small compared to the other planets.
Mm-hmm. I mean, our moon isn't that big, and Mercury is only a little bit bigger than that. And a year on Mercury is 88 Earth days, and it has no moons and no rings.
Okay.
Gemini's love for communication extends beyond just mere conversation. They're often drawn to writing, journalism, public speaking, where they can leverage their linguistic prowess to inform and entertain. And I must say, my brother is quite the entertainer. Their ability to adapt their communication style to suit any audience makes them effective communicators in both professional and personal settings. That's very interesting. And Geminis are like social butterflies. They're always interested in learning new things and talking to new people. They are also considered the curious wanderers, which, did you know, curiosity helps increase our self-esteem and it promotes an active mind, which that part makes sense to me, but I
that
didn't.
That makes sense. But the self-esteem is interesting.
Yeah, I guess it's because as we learn new things, we're proud of the fact that we've learned something new.
I guess
that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Geminis are eternal seekers of knowledge driven by an insatiable curiosity about the world around them. They possess a voracious appetite for learning and are constantly seeking out new experiences and ideas to stimulate their intellect. From diving into philosophical discussions to immersing themselves in the arts, Geminis thrive on mental stimulation and variety. And this curiosity can lead them down numerous paths in life because they have so many things that interest them. And they go after all of them with enthusiasm and vigor. And while some people might consider this fickle, Geminis simply view it as embracing the rich tapestry of all that life has to offer.
I feel like I'm similar in that way, but it definitely goes with some of the Geminis that I know. It definitely is right on par.
Changes. Gemini are very good at adapting to different situations, and they don't mind change.
Ooh, I wish I didn't mind change. I hate change so much.
Right? And being adaptable is a great quality. And they have open mind, and they're able to adapt to unexpected things, which is a really good quality to have.
Yes, but very good.
They do have some challenges. They have their tendency towards indecision and restlessness can sometimes lead to superficiality or a lack of follow through on their endeavors. Additionally, their penchant for intellectual debate might occasionally veer into argumentativeness or a desire to always be right.
Yeah, that I have that.
Ding, ding, ding. My brother does too. Well, I guess I probably do too, but we're not going to talk about that. Geminis, as they actually grow up and get older, they learn to harness this dual nature in more constructive ways. And by cultivating that self-discipline and focusing their energy on pursuits that truly resonate with their values, they can channel their intellect into what really means most to them. And they can leave a lasting impact because when they are curious about something, they are going to go and learn all about it.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge for any Gemini's love life is to find lasting emotional connections because their personality doesn't allow much depth. Well, it doesn't allow time for depth because they're on this mission to spread information and to find out new things. So they don't really sit and dig into a person's psyche. Like, they don't try to uncover the mistakes, flaws, or resolutions. They're immediately moving on to the next thing. So that makes it hard for them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I wanted to do the memes, which I always think are so funny. So Gemini as a ghost. They knock shit over, scrape nails against the walls, and smash glass.
Okay.
Gemini as a snack. They're the antipasto skewers, curious and versatile.
Okay.
Gemini as a cat is a butterfly cat, which makes sense because they're social butterflies.
Okay.
A Gemini at a restaurant can't decide what to order, so tells the waiter to surprise them.
Oh, God, that would give me such anxiety. I also have allergies. I can't do that. No.
All the Gemini wants to do is soak up all the knowledge with curiosity that never ends. So that was very interesting. And some of those things fit my brother. Some of them don't. He's really the only Gemini that I think of that I actually know. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm sure I know other ones, but I don't know.
You just don't know that, yeah. You know, that they are. Yeah.
So Cancer is the next one.
Okay.
And they are considered the nurturing souls of the zodiac.
They are the crab, right?
Yes, they are. They are. Cancer is a sign that has emotional depth, intuition, and nurturing care. Are you laughing at my inability to speak?
I'm right there with you. I'm struggling today. What did I tell you? I said something. You were like, no, that's not the word. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Well, it has been a long day and we are recording this later than normal and we are drinking. So all of those things compounded. So the birth dates of Cancers are between June 21st and July 22nd. And those born under the sign of Cancer are often characterized by their profound sensitivity, unwavering loyalty, and profound connection to their inner world. Which I thought was interesting. Self-aware.
I'm very self-aware, so I'm curious to see what I have in common with the Cancer.
Mm-hmm. Their element is water. Mm-hmm. Their color is white. Their day is Monday and Thursday.
Okay.
They're ruled by the moon. And they are best compatible with Capricorn and Taurus.
Okay.
Their lucky numbers are 2, 3, 15, and 20. And their symbol is the crab, like you said.
Crab.
So symbolized by this crab, Cancer reflects the protective shell that guards their tender emotions. And the swift sideways movement indicates their cautious approach to life. They don't go straight on. They kind of skirt their way around to things.
Me.
Like the crab, Cancers are known for their ability to navigate the ebb and flow of emotions with grace and resilience, retreating into their shells when needed, but also fiercely defending their loved ones when threatened.
Also me, but not with grace. I stumble and I'm so clumsy over literally everything. Talking, physically, emotionally.
Yeah, and I think their sensitivity is almost a drawback.
I'm very sensitive too.
I'll get to their downsides in a minute, but
you say something to me and it hurts my feelings and I don't want to talk about anything for days.
That's true. Crabs are often seen as a source of wisdom in a lot of cultures. They are both totem and spirit animals, and we relate most of their traits to different life situations like resilience, adaptability, growth, and resourcefulness. Crab claws are also really strong. You know, I don't know if anybody has ever been clamped on by a crab claw, but you got to try to prawl that thing open. It's very hard to do that.
I've seen videos of them.
And this symbolizes their unwillingness to give up on things, particularly things that they feel that they have earned rightfully somehow.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then also remember that crabs shed their shells as they grow, which provides is that what it's called in a crab? I know
it's called molting.
It is in a snake.
I thought it was molting.
Or maybe snakes are shedding and crabs are. I don't know.
Either or.
But the fact that they do lose their shells brings the meaning of renewal and rebirth to the symbol of the crab.
Okay.
The only caution here is that crabs become very defenseless during this time of change. And like that, I think Cancers also, if they're going from one, quote, home or position in life to another, they're going to be very vulnerable during that time frame.
Okay.
Did you know that the Japanese spider crab is the largest crab in the world and they measure 12 to 13 feet across.
That is absolutely disgusting.
That's a huge ass crab.
Listen, okay, talking about crabs.
Yes.
Okay. I sent my husband this TikTok of, it was in an Asian country. I'm not sure if it was Japan or China. I don't know. It was just on TikTok. I sent him this TikTok because there were these large crabs crawling up the stairs. And it was like a flock of them. Flock or whatever. And
a group of crabs is called a cast, actually.
Oh, okay. It was a cast of them crawling up the stairs, and I don't know where they were. It looked like there was like an ocean behind, so maybe like a building like adjacent to an ocean. And I sent it to him, and I have a deep fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. And this triggered that fear in my brain. I was like, I mean, I hate the ocean. So I was like, maybe my fear of spiders is connected to crabs somehow, right? And my husband, I'm over here talking about my fears, and he's like, imagine the crab legs on those things.
Yum, and the butter that it would take.
He's over here like, those would be delicious. And I'm over here like, they are absolutely awful. Like, that is that is my worst fear come to life. Those horrible, massive things. And
he's like, break out the bibs. It's time to eat.
Let's eat those things. Awful, disgusting. But 12 crabs to 13 feet? That's insane.
Crabs are actually decapods too. They have 10 legs, so that's
absolutely
a lot of legs.
Absolutely not. See, now you've just unlocked a new fear in me. Absolutely not.
That is so funny.
12 to 13 feet is insane. Like, an average human is like 5'8", and then like a tall human is like 6 foot something, like 6'2", 6'3". Mm-hmm. So that's like double a human height.
Across, yeah.
Across. That's disgusting.
Can you imagine the claws on them? They could
They
could catch humans and eat them.
That's because
they are.
Where do these things live so I can avoid it?
Well, like, those were in Japan.
Yeah, but where in Japan?
I didn't write that down.
I'm never going anywhere near water in Japan. Absolutely not. That's absolutely disgusting. I don't like it.
That is so funny. Okay, so cancers have a deep emotional depth, and that is really at the core of their essence. And they're ruled by the moon, which is the celestial body that governs our innermost feelings and subconscious desires. And so therefore, Cancerites,
okay,
cancer people are deeply attuned to the rhythms of their emotions and to those of the world around them. And so, of course, I had to look up something interesting fact about the moon for y'all. So did you know the moon was actually formed when a rock smashed into the earth? And I think that I've said this before, and I know Ren already knows this, but they think the rock was the size of Mars.
Oh.
And that the piece of rock that came up into the air got sucked into the earth's gravitational pull. And that's how we got our moon. But we only have the one moon. And it's moving 3.8 centimeters away from the earth every year, which I think I've also talked about, I think, one in our moon magic episode.
Yeah. See, it's just rather interesting because, like, if the rock was about the size of Mars that smashed into the earth, there would be no earth left because,
it was in the very beginning of the formation of the universe.
I'm aware, but still.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind a little.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what
how do we know that? I don't know.
What was the size of the meteor? I don't know what it's called once it hits the ground.
Meteorite. You remember it, and everybody needs to know this. I don't know why you need to know this, but meteorite hit my bike. That's when it hits the ground.
Oh, you've told us that before. Yeah. Obviously, I didn't do like a good job at remembering that.
Entering the atmosphere and then a meteorite. I know there's like three names to them. There's like a meteor, and then while it's moving in the air, it's called something. And then meteorite is what is on the ground.
Okay.
You remember it by meteorite hit my bike. The best science teacher I ever had told us that, and I've never forgotten it.
That's pretty clever. But I mean, what was the size of the one that formed the crater in the Gulf of Mexico, or maybe that's just a caldera? I don't know.
There are speculations about what we have current day that could be like a crater, but it's filled with water, like the Gulf of Mexico. There's a couple, there's one in Africa that people are like, oh yeah, that's was when the dinosaurs all died because it was it's such a massive.
It was so big.
Yeah. But we don't, we're not sure if it's a crater or just some sort of like other land bump
and formation.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word. I was gonna say bump and whatever swoopy thing I'm doing with my hands.
Tectonic plate thing, you know.
Anyways.
Cancers are very empathic, and that allows them to connect with others on a soulful level and offering comfort and support during life's really challenging moments. Mm-hmm. So they're caregivers. This emotional sensitivity can also leave a Cancer vulnerable to mood swings and emotional fluctuations, like any empath, I think. I think that Cancers have that same issue that empaths have, where you take on too much and you become overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And like the tides that are influenced by the moon, Cancer people experience highs and lows with equal intensity, and they navigate the currents of their inner world with courage and compassion, but they're very affected by it.
Okay.
So they're nurturing carers. Okay. Maybe caregivers. That's a better word. Caregivers. Let's use
that one. What did I tell you earlier today? Oh, yes. I don't remember. I was on the phone with you. And after I said it, I was like, what the fuck, Ren? Listen, I was like, everything's moving so fast paced in my life. I said, I'm not a fast paced liver. I am a slow paced liver. And I was like, liver. I literally said, I'm a liver. Like,
I'm a liver. Well, you know, I'm a heart. So, okay.
I was like, I said it so strongly and so confidently. I was like, I'm a freaking fast paced liver right now. And I'm a slow paced liver. Like I can't be doing this. And I'm like, a liver? Really?
Well, Jesus. that's about like a carer. So Cancers are caregivers, which I think is the proper term.
Okay.
And they possess an innate desire to nurture and protect those that they hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
Their home is their sanctuary, which also makes me think of you.
Yes.
Which is a cozy retreat where they can go and lavish love and attention on their family and friends, whether it's through cooking or listening or just hugging, giving a comforting embrace. Cancer people excel at creating nurturing environments where other people can feel safe and supported.
I think I was meant to be a Cancer.
Yeah, maybe so. Although your emotions aren't as... It's a downside for them, and your emotions are not a downside for you.
I can turn off my emotions, though.
And I don't think a Cancer can.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
This caregiving, it is. This caregiving instinct extends beyond their inner circle to encompass the broader community. Which, did you know, there was a study that shows empathy is declining in United States college students. Which is fascinating. They started the study in 1979, and they've been tracking it, and it's been falling. And the deepest drop came right after 2020, which was when COVID happened.
Hmm. Well, so I feel like a lot of the empathy comes from caring about people, and a lot of our society and how we grew up with movies and all of this that show people dying and all of these range of emotions. I feel like we're all desensitized to a lot of things as well, unless if it happens to us like in person. Like a person dying on a TV show is not the same as a person literally dying in front of you.
Which is interesting.
We're desensitized to those things.
That I think COVID increased that because we were all secluded away from other people.
Yeah. And we kind of just.
We learned to just be self, you know,
with ourselves.
So
yeah.
The fact that empathy dropped right after that makes sense, unfortunately.
It's rather interesting. Yeah.
And although.
But I feel like all of us have also, I mean, I'm talking for a whole collective, but I feel like a lot of people agree from what I've seen on social media, et cetera, is a lot of us are tired. Like there's just one thing after another. And with how the economy is, we don't really have time to care about empathy or to have those types of tendencies because we're only focused on surviving ourselves. Like how are we supposed to focus on what other people are feeling and all of that when we can't even understand what we're feeling?
See, and I think that's what brings the cancer people down, is because they still try. Yeah. In the midst of this world where there is so much going on, they are still out there trying to make it better for everybody else. And it takes a toll on them, I think.
Yeah.
But they are drawn to professions that allow them to make a positive impact on the lives of others, like healthcare, counseling, mm-hmm. social work, and their empathetic nature and intuitive understanding make them natural healers and advocates for those people that are in need.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have their own issues. They can be overwhelmed by feelings of exhaustion and burnout, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
And their emotional sensitivity sometimes manifests as clinginess or a reluctance to let go of the past. And that's where I think you are not cancer at all in mm-hmm. that. You don't ever go down to the point of being clingy. In fact, when your emotions overwhelm you, you want to...
I want to be alone.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to be alone. Anybody. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want anybody to talk to me, anybody to touch me. Like, I don't like it. I process my things mm-hmm. by myself, and yep. that's just how it is.
And I think that cancer people are not that way.
Yeah.
And so they have to learn how to strike a balance between caring for other people and practicing self-care. Mm-hmm. They've got to set boundaries. They've got to embrace change. They don't like change. They've got to embrace change as a natural part of life. And then they can harness their nurturing instincts in a more sustainable way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so they are actually a beautiful nurturing zodiac sign, and they are protective of their heart and of the hearts of those that they love.
That's really nice.
So I found a whole bunch of memes on cancer. More on cancer apparently is a thing, because when I was trying to do the memes on this one, a whole bunch of them came
up. So many.
So a cancer at a restaurant gathers up everyone's dirty dishes and silverware for the waiter, which you do.
I literally do that.
You literally do that. All a cancer wants is true love, family, and the power of a great hug to heal all wounds.
I agree with the first two. I don't like hugs. Don't touch me.
Yeah, you don't like to be touched.
I don't like it.
Cancer as a ghost, they would comfort small children, protect their loved ones, and act as a guardian angel.
Well, that's nice.
This one was weird. Cancer as a tiny cat. You know, I've been talking about the little tiny cat meme.
Yeah.
It's got cancer as being a tiny cat that's wearing a clown hat and a neck ruffle. And I'm like, what is that all about? I'm not
quite sure. Cancers are clowns? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. The cancer sign as a habit is whining at small things.
Guilty. I do that.
And cancer as a snack, they would be a soft giant pretzel because it's nurturing and comforting.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I am with food. A food that's comforting and nurturing is not a soft giant pretzel. It's like a pot of stew or something.
I knew you were going to say that. When I was doing this, I'm like, you know, Ren would say, that's not nurturing. Stew is nurturing.
Stew.
We had this discussion just the other day.
Any she was like,
late. It was late working. And she calls me and she's like, give me an idea for dinner, something uh-huh. comforting. And I don't remember what I was saying. I listed off a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And you're like, no, I want stew.
I did. I really wanted stew.
And that is a very comforting food for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's my home food, I guess.
Okay. So that was the end of
cancer.
Cancer. Yeah.
So do you think we have time for one more only?
I don't know. Let's go and see. We've been talking for about 25 minutes.
Okay, let's see. So now we are on to Leo, mm-hmm. which is the regal lion.
Rawr. Yes,
rawr. You can tell I'm tired. So Leo emerges as a beacon of strength, charisma, and boundless confidence. Born between July 23rd and August 22nd, those under the sign of Leo are often hailed as the kings and queens of the zodiac, extruding an aura of regality and majesty wherever they go.
Yep.
Which I will agree with. I will agree with.
The Leos I know, that fits with.
Yes. So their element is fire. Their color is gold, which absolutely mm-hmm. yellow and orange. Their
I'm surprised it's not purple because regal. Well, maybe that's just an American and European thing that we think about regal people as being purple. But anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. I think of gold when I think of Leo.
Yeah, like a lion's mane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And or the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their day is Sunday. Their ruler is sun. Mm-hmm. Their greatest compatibility is, but it's two. So are Aquarius and Gemini.
I'm having that whole tense thing issue too. I don't know.
Yeah. Is, are, whatever. And then their lucky numbers are 1, 3, 10, and 19.
Okay.
So the symbolism is, you know, the lion, like we said. So symbolized by the majestic lion, Leo radiates power, courage, and leadership. Like the king of the jungle. Funny. Anyways, Leo's possessed.
Actually, I don't think lions live in the jungle. They live in like the desert in Africa.
Yeah, they live. Wow. That's or so somewhere. Very like everywhere. Like there's a lot to Africa. My gosh.
Okay, move ahead. Sorry.
There's other places. Okay, so Leos radiate power, courage, and leadership. They possess a natural magnetism and commanding presence that draws others to them like moths to a flame.
Yeah.
I really struggle with that sentence. With their dignified demeanor, you know, and their fiery spirits, Leos are born leaders who are unafraid to take charge and blaze their own trails. I will say, I wish I had that type of confidence and determination, and they would definitely be Gryffindor.
That's what I was thinking when you said you were going to do Leo. I was like, oh, Gryffindor. But did you know that lions are the only cats that live in groups?
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know that because I, you know, tigers and panthers, I guess they're more solitary.
I did know that.
And a lion's roar can be heard for up to 8 kilometers away, which is about 5 miles, 4.97 miles.
Wow.
And they're thought to be very lazy because they sleep for 16 to 20 hours a day. Now that's the life.
I wish.
Right. I know. Me too.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Leos are ruled by the sun. So the sun bestows upon those born under the sign a sense of sovereignty and self-assuredness.
Yeah.
However you say it.
We're struggling, man.
I know. Leos exude a magnetic charisma and presence that draws others to them, much like the sun's gravitational pull on the planets and the orbit around it, which I think that's such a great analogy.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. They possess, oh my gosh, can I just get through one sentence? They possess an innate sense of authority and leadership that inspires others to follow in their lead. Just as the sun radiates warmth and light to all corners of the solar system, Leos are known for their warmth, generosity, and generosity of spirit.
Yeah, speaking of warmth, did you know that the sun can be 27 million degrees Fahrenheit at its core? I mean, it's just a ridiculously hot ball of plasma. There's like no
It's so Earth, hot, you know, like the amount of degree, like the degrees that we have here on Earth cannot equate to what it is out there. So we have to measure them in another, like Kelvins is what. And it's just crazy to think about it. It is
crazy because our human little brains can't even conceive of that.
Oh, no, and then I was reading
that the sun has no moons, but aren't all of the planets really the sun's moons? I kind of think so.
Potato, potato, whatever you want to say.
I'm like, it has no moons. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And has a whole bunch of moons. We're all the moons.
Yeah, we're the sun's moons. You could say that we're the sun's moons and we're just living on it.
Yeah.
Is the sun the main character or what?
That's what I was thinking when I was thinking about Leos, is that they've got that main character complex.
Mm-hmm. So, so much like you.
I am not a Leo. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Okay. Anyways. So Beneath their bold exterior, Leos possess hearts of gold, overflowing with warmth, generosity, and loyalty. They are fiercely protective of their loved ones and will go to great lengths to ensure their happiness and well-being. Whether it's showering their friends with a lavish gift, or offering words of encouragement, or even standing up for those in need, Leos are natural caretakers who take pride in uplifting others.
Yeah, some of the Leos that I've met are, what is the word? Arrogant is the word.
Oh, I mean, I could see that as well.
Uh-huh. That, I mean, there is a fine line, I think, between being self-assured and a leader and being overwhelming and arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are fiercely protective. I already said that. Whether it's I already said that as well. I'm all over the place.
Sorry, guys.
It's fine. It's absolutely fine. This is what they come for. You know, they come.
Oh, yeah. Because we're.
And, you know, I'm really happy if I can make you feel good about yourself.
Like, yeah. Listen to these.
Feel so much. Yeah.
Yeah. These two girls are so messed up. At least I know my life is okay compared
so
to
much
theirs.
Better. Yeah. So ruled by the radiant sun, Leos are imbued with creativity, passion, and a zest for life. They possess a natural flair for dynamic and dramatic, I mean, not dynamic, dramatic and excel in artistic pursuits that allow them to express their unique vision to the world. From dazzling
arrogant.
Performances.
Arrogant.
Wow.
Sorry.
Don't insult any of our Leo listeners.
Oh,
okay?
Sorry. I didn't think about that. I'm sorry.
From dazzling performances on stage to captivating works of art, Leos shine brightest when they are able to channel their creative energies into projects that ignite their soul, which I would say I really like doing like artistic things. And I really do resonate with the ignite their soul. Like it makes you feel something inside when you're doing it. Cause if it doesn't, then there's no purpose.
With a Leo though, it's more than what's inside them. It's showing it to everybody else. And I mean,
I think
I guess
it's just
I,
bashing on Leos.
I think it's
do you have beef with a Leo?
I, the ones that I've known, I have.
So River has beef with Leos. So anybody
all
a
of
Leo,
our Leo
watch
people.
Out.
I am so sorry, but.
I mean, you're yeah. right, because they do thrive in that spotlight, whether it's mm-hmm. like stage performance
exactly.
or
yeah.
showcasing their artwork, like how you just said. It's they just want to simply bask in their admiration of their peers, which I do get that. But I feel like you're kind of explaining it in the they only channel their energies to create projects to get that admiration. I think
yeah.
the admiration is just on top of what they're doing
their
already.
Joy of
yeah.
their joy of doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, I really enjoyed making this. And then they also liked it too. And then that just makes you feel good all the way around.
Yeah, that's true.
So Leos illuminate the lives of those around them with their creative vision and infectious enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I know Leos, but I've not been like, I haven't had like a friend Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I know of Leo's, been around them. They think they're awesome. They're friends of friends. We've hung out like maybe one evening, like at a bar or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but never been like one to stay in touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the most endearing qualities of Leo's is their unwavering optimism, love of life. And mm-hmm. no matter the challenges they face, Leo's approach life with a sense of enthusiasm, positivity, and you can say it's pretty infectious. And I
agree with that.
I would say I could use some of that positivity.
Maybe I'm just jealous of Leo's. Maybe that's what
maybe.
It is.
See, now you're doing some deeper work.
I'm doing some shadow
deep.
Work here,
yeah,
people.
You're,
yeah.
Yeah. You just opened up your own like a channel mm-hmm. within yourself. It takes a lot for people to admit things like that, though. It really does. Like, nobody wants to admit that they're jealous or envious of somebody.
I mean,
or
maybe that
something.
Is what my issue is with them, is that I wish that I could be more mm-hmm. Out there. I mean, I am, what is the word? Introvert, extrovert. I am an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And I do like people. And I do have leadership skills, but it's not come to me naturally. mm-hmm. like it does to a lot of Leos. And maybe I am jealous of that.
I mean, there are times where, I mean, I'm a hermit crab. So there are times where I'm like, man, I really wish I could be outgoing and I could go out and not have to worry about anything and have my anxiety and all of that, like, catch up with me. Like, I wish I could just go out and have fun and just be what I want to be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who do have those traits, it is hard to not just look at them and go, oh, like, how do they do it? And how, you know, so it is hard.
What do they have that I don't have?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. And so, but as soon as I get there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it, I'm like, no, never mind. I'm not going to. I'm just going to stay in my little cave. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be part of it. And I would say, I mean, again, I don't have any Leos to be able to say, oh, like, this is my personal experience. But, but I mean, to that, like, they possess an innate ability to find the silver lining in things, which I really do like that in a person because, and I will say, I mean, for my life, I have been caught up in like all of the negative, only thinking about the bad that has ever happened. And so like just being able to break through and not only focus on the bad is something that's really nice. And if somebody possesses that just because of their zodiac sign, whatever,
well,
then it's really good to do that.
I've been told that I also am an optimist and a believer in humanity and people, and I've been called naive for that.
There's a fine line between naivety, however you say that, and just like, because you can believe in people, but you also have to understand that a greater being of people, like a lot of what happens in society happens, like bad things happen. A lot of people are bad, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about this a lot.
We have.
You have to understand wholly that not everybody is going to be that kind and not everybody's going to be that good, but also having that outlook that, oh, that person I'm about to approach, they're going to be really nice and understanding and all of that.
I would be the person that gets kidnapped because the serial killer comes up to me and says, I've lost my dog and I'm so sad. And I'm like, oh, I'll help you. And then I would be dead.
Yeah. In those types of situations, I'd be like, I'm so sorry about your dog, but I'm not going to help you. Like, I'll be nice, but I'm not going to help.
What I would need to do is say, well, great. Let's get a group of us to go and look for your dog.
I guess that's pretty smart too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so Leos have challenges and growth as well. So despite their many strengths, Leos are not without their challenges. Their boundless confidence can sometimes border on arrogance, like you've been talking about.
I was right. Okay. Sorry.
I think we have a Leo hater here. leading them to seek validation and admiration from others. And I feel like it's not just a Leo thing, though. I mean, everybody does this. Everybody, you know, sits there, you make a piece of artwork, whatever, you work really hard on something, you show your friends,
you do want to be validated,
you want to have that validation. Mm-hmm. So you can't really say, I mean, maybe Leos do it more or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But everybody does that. And additionally, their fiery temperaments can occasionally flare up into bouts of stubbornness. They feel like their pride has been wounded, something like that, which I feel like also, again, everybody does that too.
Yeah.
And so as Leos mature, they learn to harness their energy in more constructive ways by embracing humility, practicing empathy, and recognizing that strength lies in vulnerability, which I think that is true.
Maybe that's my issue with Leos, is that they are not, the ones I've known are not necessarily empathetic.
Maybe they're not in that mature stage.
Maybe so.
But Leos can cultivate deeper connections with others and unlock their full potential as compassionate leaders and creative visionaries. Like, they can do that.
That's true. They just have to realize within themselves.
It just depends on where they are mentally in their life.
Well, I have some memes.
Okay.
So Leos as a habit would be hair twirlers.
Okay.
Leos at a restaurant, they would try to sit at the head of a circular table. that one made me laugh. I didn't make that one up. I found that one. All a Leo wants is attention. They want to be worshipped and adored. A Leo as a ghost would terrorize crowds. They have a soft spot, though, for children, which you've got to admire. The toxic trait of Leo is that they don't know how to ask for help, so they'll disappear until they're better.
That's one of my toxic traits, too. Well, I don't know how to ask for help.
As a leader, it's hard because you're looked up to and everybody expects you to have the answer. And if you don't, how do you ask for help? Because that shows a vulnerability that it's hard for you to show if you're a leader.
Yeah.
And then Leo as a snack would be a fruit kebab and dip. It would be indulgent and luxurious, which that's the other trait that I always think about with Leos is luxury.
Yeah.
They like luxurious
like
things.
Like elegant. Mm-hmm. Elegance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that we've got time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. We're about 10 minutes from an hour, and this we've got one more to go through, and it's going to take longer than that.
So we'll do Virgo in the next episode of Zodiacs. But that's all we have for today, sadly. But if you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, you can go to www.c3witchypodcast.com. There you can find links to all of our social medias, all of our episodes. You can find our newsletter. You can find our merch. And if you want to go directly to our merch, that's www.c3witchypodcastmerch.com. There we have
new stuff.
Exactly. It's Letha and Lamas, and then a couple of After Dark designs and just general witchy designs. Mm-hmm. We are currently looking at moving from one platform to the other, so we will keep you guys updated on that after this merch line is done.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think what else.
But I mean, even if you all just go and buy a mug, that helps us tremendously. So
anything helps. You guys could just follow us on YouTube. YouTube is really big. Yes. You could comment, like our episodes. It really helps boost our, get us into the algorithm of people seeing us. So anything really helps, just commenting on our stuff, rating us on any of the platforms that you listen to us on. You can also support us on Patreon and Buzzsprout. Go ahead.
And I feel like we are a decent podcast. I think that we have a lot to offer people, but we just have to get our name out there.
We have to get out there.
So. Yeah, by responding and commenting and sharing on all of our social medias, that would be great.
Yes. But I think that's it.
I think so. So we'll be back.
We'll be back.
And until then, stay witchy.
Ooh.